This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco. Check the For You app for more deals.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show presents another edition of Who's Your Guy?
Would you like to go first?
Yes, I would. I'm so flattered.
Let's talk with Johnny. Who's your guy?
My guy, Roma Dunze, wide receiver, University of Washington.
He's a baller. He balls.
Let's go to Dan in Deerfield.
Hey, Lawrence. Hey, Lila. Big fan. My guy is Georgia tight end Brock Bowers.
Go back to cooking for the Seder, Bernstein.
Bye.
Who's your guy?
Well, that friggin' Dan Bernstein took my guy. In honor of Layla's quest for a better Bears O-line, my guy is Talisa Fuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State.
Able to snap it off in nonchalant fashion.
Maybe so.
Ryan Flournoy.
His strengths.
He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
Still physically impossible. Weaknesses.
Technically, I'm homeless.
This has been top notch today, boys. Top notch.
I am a flush with cash.
Who's your guy with Bernstein and Holmes on the Score?
Let's do it. You know what we're doing here. And if you're a real veteran of this segment going back years, you know it's really about the sound drops as much as it is the scouting reports.
Studs, I told Studs yesterday that his job is to crack us.
Yes, I had it on. I had it on the Odyssey app on my laptop as I was futzing around the kitchen yesterday getting everything ready. It was perfect. So we ready? We good?
Yeah, ready.
We all set? Yep. All right. Well, let's start Who's Your Guy with Brian. Brian, you are on the Score. Who's your guy?
Hello, boys.
Hello.
My guy is Leatu, edge rusher, UCLA.
Leatu Latu, a little over 6'4 and a half, 259 pounds, fifth year senior. Strings.
Wow!
Crafty. He's crafty. Punctual pass rusher. Owns a master's degree in cross chop maneuvers. His go to move is a Euro chop. A Euro chop chop. Fast, strong hands for effective arm overs, ghost moves, and quick sheds. Burst off the snap with body flexibility to corner at the top of his rush. Hits the turbo button after clearing the outside shoulder off the blocker. Uses a filthy jab step to shorten the edge and displays an innate feel for creating rush angles. Plays with a ton of energy and feet are never stagnant. Stays balanced through contact and is accustomed to seeing extra attention. Always rallying to the football and pursuing to the perimeter. Weaknesses.
Not that talent level.
Right.
Below average arm length by NFL standards. Tends to play tall versus the run and needs to be more consistent controlling the point of attack. Must better anticipate outside design to contain runs to his side. More of a hug and drag tackler, which could be problematic this year, by the way, and needs to clean up his misses. He had at least one missed tackle in every 2023 tape studied. Injury history will be scrutinized by NFL teams after 2.5 years away from football.
Now clean up your misses. She's dirty. She's stanky.
She's dirty. In summary, overall, Latu's medical history will play a major part in his draft grade, but he is a pass rush technician with the instinctive feel and athletic bend to be an impactful two-way go rusher in the NFL. His play style and journey are more reminiscent of Miami Dolphins first rounder Jalen Phillips. He is projected to go in the first round.
Next up is Elliot. Elliot, I have one question. Who's your guy?
My guy is a football player on the offensive line of the Oregon team, Jackson Powers Johnson.
Jackson Powers Johnson, 6'3 1/3, 328 pounds. Strengths.
He's got
Tosky.
PPTPW.
TWTW.
HYPRR. It's an acronym.
Our success equals the knowledge. The E stands for effort. And then the last E stands for energy.
Players play, tough players win.
Will to win.
The H is for the how, why, stands for yours. P is when the process starts. R is for the result. And the other R is for the actual response.
That's what he's got.
Damn!
I don't even need to read the scouting report now. He has an NFL frame, above average body twitch and snap to step quickness, efficient lateral shuffle to answer gap shooters, plays with a firm base and fierce hands. To refit and stay centered in his pass protection anchor. Gets the most out of his average length, looks to remove defenders from their feet. Has the functional range to get out in front on screens and second-level workups, alert versus defensive fronts, plays assignment sound, competes with a mean streak. His fight-or-flight response is to match the opponent's authority. Respect my authority! The Oregon coaching staff raves about his toughness and dedication to his craft. One of the youngest offensive linemen in this draft, but carries himself like a veteran. Weaknesses.
Everybody's under spanking lately. Have you noticed that?
I have. Sets tall at times with inconsistent knee bend. Average hip roll. Doesn't consistently
Never
drive.
Never going to give you up.
Drive defenders off the ball. Has the range to reach his blocking points, but needs to get there with urgency and timing as well. Will strengthen his sustained skills with improved post-contact leverage and mechanics. Highly penalized as a junior. The medicals will be important. Battled multiple injuries, including groin and hip and multiple concussions. In summary, Powers Johnson's inexperience is reflected in his technique, but he offers a fantastic combination of size, athleticism, and toughness with a skill set that translates to both center and guard. His game reminds me of Ryan Kelly, who won the Remington Award at Alabama before becoming a first-round pick in 2016, a first-to-second-round grade on Oregon interior lineman Jackson Powers Johnson.
All right. Yes.
Next up is Mike. Mike, who's your guy?
My guy is Iowa defensive back, Cooper DeJean.
Cooper DeJean, and it's...
It is DeJean?
It's seemingly pronounced DeJean.
DeJean.
According to the Beast, it's D-E-E, capital E's.
Okay.
All right?
DeJean.
So we'll go with what
like
he's
Dijon,
got there.
Like but Dijon I'm, mustard.
It's easier for me to just say DeJean.
Okay.
The Great White Hope. Let's get it. 6 feet. 202 pounds, third-year junior. Strengths!
I'm so good. The lightning is for me.
You better believe it. Good size athlete with above-average speed. He's alert, disciplined, and smooth in his movements, which allow him to use a variety of techniques, bail, press, mirror, etc. Anticipates well and credits his time as a high school quarterback for developing his feel in coverage. Finds the football and produces receiver-like plays at the catch point. Does fun things with the ball in his hands. NFL scouts say he can channel any nerves into a competitive performance. Experience playing multiple positions in back seven. Weaknesses.
What?
Only, I don't think that's a weakness for him.
No.
Only average reaction burst. Wait a minute. They just said it in the first step. Only average reaction burst in first step isn't as explosive as his full strides. Guilty of taking extra steps at the top of routes or in his change of direction, giving up initial separation to receivers. Not shy about grabbing to recover or getting handsy down the field. Hold, please. Suffered a broken fibula in his right leg while practicing with the offense, an injury which required season-ending surgery and sidelined him for most of the draft process. He was medically cleared back in March. In summary, overall, DeJean is one of the best tackling defensive backs in the class and shows playmaking skills in coverage because of his athletic instincts and competitive makeup, along with an immediate special teams role as a returner or gunner. His NFL starter quality skill see fit to interchange him at cornerback, nickel, or safety. He is a late first, early second round grade on Cooper DeJean.
Okay. Jay is on the score. Jay, who is your guy?
Hey, guys. My guy is Cedric Van Pran, center from Georgia.
Another center I have on my list, Cedric Van Pran Granger, is how he's listed. His 6'4", 298. Strengths.
I live in Aurora, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. Excellent.
Built with proportionate thickness.
Yeah.
That's
two C's.
Well, that's your first strength. Outstanding hand strength to seal, turn, or keep defenders from his body. Displays the hip to elbow relationship to keep his hands tight and drive defenders in the run game. Uses his body position to leverage run lanes. Has the functional mobility to climb to the second level or reach his pull landmarks. Outstanding awareness and pass pro to quickly point out twists and games. There is a twist, and there is a game! Consistent finisher on every snap. Became a team captain as a sophomore in high school, was a two-year team captain at Georgia because of the way he connects with his teammates. Durable and reliable. Weaknesses.
Okay, I still live with my parents, which I admit is both bogus and sad. But at least I've got an amazing cable access show, and I still know how to party.
Short-armed player, often finds himself overextended and late to regroup. Mediocre athleticism and lateral agility.
Mediocre.
Delaying his ability to answer gap shooters. Inconsistent base strength when absorbing bull rush. Lacks recovery skills to quickly provide answers when off balance. You notice there's a lot of asking and answering in the scouting this year?
Yes.
Efficiency on combinations is okay for the SEC, but NFL linebackers will get free.
How dare you?
Played a lot of snaps, but all of them came at center with questionable positional versatility. In sum, Van Pran Granger has NFL play strength, especially in the run game. Coaches rave about his leadership and smarts, but he might struggle when caught in any situation that calls for him to play in
space.
He is equipped to compete for immediate starting reps in the right situation. A third to fourth round grade on Georgia center Cedric Van Pran Granger.
For the ones that get it done.
Earl, you're on the score. Earl, who's your guy?
Guy, Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver, Rice University.
Oh, man, I wasn't ready for that. I'm sorry. That's on me. I was already looking up J.J. McCarthy. Hold on.
Page 72.
I got it now. Got I'm it. Right here. Luke McCaffrey, 6'1", 198 pounds of rough and tumble Coloradan stuff. Strengths.
Insane straight line performance blended with effortless acceleration and sports car sharp reflexes.
NFL level athleticism is in his DNA. Plays physical to the football and doesn't allow crowded catch points to disrupt his focus. Adjusts with a looseness in his body, helping him reach back and secure throws. Drops are scarce on his tape. Smart and controlled route runner and requisite footwork and body sync at the top of his patterns. Aggressive attacking up the field after the catch. NFL scouts speak highly of both his personal and football character. Senior captain and voted MVP by his teammates in 2022 and 2023.
Is he a McCaffrey?
Yeah.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, he said, I want to influence the world through football. Close quote. Weaknesses.
I'd never done a crazy thing in my life before that night. Why is it? If a man kills another man in battle, it's called heroic. Yet if he kills a man in the heat of passion, it's called murder.
Good height for the position, but his frame is lean and underpowered. Inconsistent setup and pacing with route mechanics can bog down his play speed, helping comers play sticky. That is a very interesting line. Lacks linear twitch to easily uncover and create a step of separation. Catches well outside his frame, but his lack of length limits him at times. Lack of mass and play strength shows as both stationary and stock blocker. In summary, overall, McCaffrey doesn't always uncover as easily as his testing numbers might suggest. But he is smart and controlled in his route movements with the tough-minded ball skills to be ready and steady possession target. His ability to carve out a role on special teams could be the key to him earning a roster spot as a rookie. Fifth round grade on Luke McCaffrey.
Pat's next, and he's on the score. Hey, Pat, who's your guy?
LSU fans call my guy Dirty Dallas Turner, edge rusher from the University of Alabama.
Roll Tide.
Roll damn Tide.
I knew that was coming from Pat. Pat has been a staple of this, and it's always an Alabama player. Dallas Turner, 6'2.5", 247. Strengths.
I'm a tender lover.
So they say. Built with explosive muscle fibers throughout his long athletic frame. Rushes with the get-off burst and body flexibility to dip and bend the corner. Shows a variety of moves, including a deadly ghost move. Ha! Deadly ghost move.
Ooh.
Activate. Above average speed, extra gear to close in pursuit from the backside. Flashes strong, firm hands for aggressive stabs. His nickname at Alabama was Stab Club Dal. Explosive at contact to work off.
Gotta be careful with those blocks, type of nicknames.
I know. Or drive blockers into the lap of the quarterback. Sets a hard edge versus the run, using his length and explosive hands to nonchalantly shock and torque passive blockers from their spot.
Shock and awe.
Skillfully sees through blockers. And strength makes him a magnet for offensive holding calls. Elite motor. His switch never turns off. Has the athleticism to comfortably drop into coverage, voted a team captain, with Nick Saban saying Turner set a high standard with his work ethic and care for doing the little things. Welcomes hard coaching, wants to be pushed. Weaknesses.
He likes to drag race cars, I think. He's gotten him in trouble a few times, I know that. But he's a hell of a pass rusher.
Average bulk, should continue growing into his frame, needs to continue strengthening his lower body, can do a better job setting up blockers to counter without thinking, snap anticipation can be more consistent, aggressive nature can backfire, needs to be a better finisher in short areas. Had several quiet tapes as a pass rusher. In summary, overall, Turner is a long, explosive edge rusher with the body twitch, hand usage, and play strength to leverage blocks and be disruptive in multiple ways. He has the freaky tools to be a potential impact player in the NFL who should continue to improve as his body and rush attack mature. A first-round 14 overall grade on Alabama edge rusher Dallas Turner. We will do more. Somebody drops off. You jump on. A lot of blinking lights, a lot of scouting reports, and a lot of very, very scouty jargon. Because that's what we do on Who's Your Guy, which continues next. Bernstein and Holmes on the score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Odyssey Station.
All week we are doing this, and you say, well, what about Friday? Because the first round is Thursday. We're going to do it Friday, too, because there's a lot of rounds in the draft and a lot of guys who might be your guy, because we push a button and we ask a question, and then we read you the scouting report from Dane Brugler's The Beast NFL Draft Guide via The Athletic. Next up on Who's Your Guy is Jonathan on the score. Hello, Jonathan. Who's your guy?
Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State.
There it is.
Marvin Harrison Jr., 6'3", 209 pounds.
Stop.
Maserati Marv. Strengths.
I've seen beaver in Canada a million times. They're unmistakable.
They are. All right. Extraordinary pass-catching dexterity and freaky athleticism. Explosive off the line and uses a variety of releases to defeat press. Reaches top speed quickly, 23.1 miles per hour in-game speed. and creates vertical push in the route. Cohesive footwork, pacing, and burst to snap off 90-degree breaks and easily create separation. Instinctive tracking skills to slow down or speed up to catch the football in a specific spot. Fast, natural hands, and won't fight the football. Able to contort his long live frame, and make challenging catches above the rim, or down by his shoelaces. Plays more powerful than he looks and maintains focus through the catch. Weaknesses.
The man chased him, grabbed him by the shirt, and then grabbed his penis in a violent manner.
Lean, muscular body type, and doesn't have elite body armor on his frame. Will struggle to power through NFL Jam or tackle. NFL Jam! He's heating up! Or tackle attempts. Guilty of coasting at times when he doesn't expect to be the target. Plays fast as a ball carrier, but not true yak weapon. I love that. And you'd wish he had made more make you miss after the catch moves. One of the true weak areas of his game is perimeter blocking because of disappointing effort on multiple 2023 tape. In summary, overall, Harrison has dominant receiving traits and can win from anywhere on the field because of his athletic gifts, route savvy, and adjustment finishing skills at the catch point. He is among the best receiving prospects to enter the NFL in recent memory. And he has the dedication to his craft to be a playmaking number one NFL receiver and future All-Pro. First round grade, number 2 overall.
Nice. Ken, you are on the score. Who's your guy?
Tavondre Sweat, Texas.
Tavondre Sweat, defensive tackle at Texas, 6'4 and a half, 366.
Yeah!
The biggin. Strengths.
He's not a puppy, he's a man.
Massive body type with proportionate thickness, long arms, big hands, grown man strength to bully blockers into the lap of the quarterback. Flashes pop and power in his hands to swipe down blockers or put them on their backside. One scout said, "Did you see the new Mario movie when Donkey Kong pounds the snot out of Mario? It gave me flashbacks of Tavondre Sweat's film." I'd be careful.
Be
there.
Very careful.
I'd be super careful with that.
Probably don't want to
random
say it that way.
NFL scout. Come on, man.
They can't stop themselves.
Come on, man. Just like, I mean, surprising quickness for his size with range to make plays downfield and at the numbers. Even when his base gets narrow, he can hold his ground against double teams. Has a knack for finding passing lanes to bat throws. Weaknesses.
Not interested. Would be the sign that I would hang outside my door. Not interested at all.
Must keep his weight under control. NFL scouts say he played 2023 at around 380. High cut, tends to play tall out of his stance. Average get off leads to early stalls. Pass rush skills are a work in progress. Needs to develop move-to-move transitions. More consistent hand placement will reduce missed tackles. Showed improved conditioning in his final season, improved maturity in 2023, but was labeled a party animal.
Yeah.
He's Spuds McKenzie all of a sudden.
He got arrested for a DWI.
He was also labeled a class clown. Questionable commitment to becoming the best player he could be. Was arrested and charged with DWI. Weeks before the draft.
Yep.
In summary, Sweat must continue turning the brilliant flashes into more consistency. Rare athlete for his size, with the power and ingredients to be a dominant force against the run. Though he has the traits to become an impactful NFL starter, he needs to stay conditioned and locked in to reach his potential. A fourth round grade on Texas that looks like a zero technique type, Tavondre Sweat. Next, Vince, you're on the score. Vince, who's your guy?
Hello, boys.
Hello.
My guy is Florida State defensive tackle, the kingpin, Braden Fisk.
Braden Fisk, 6'3½", 292 pounds. 6-year senior, by the way. Looks like, strengths.
He runs good, and I mean above average.
Looks like an NFL lineman with his wide, heavy frame and proportionate thickness. With his initial quickness, he can barrel through gaps or create vertical displacement. Physical with his club swat moves and a good old-fashioned bull rush to press the pocket. Keeps his feet alive on stunts and shows off his agility. Stout versus the run, holds his ground and stacks blocks. One of the most alert defensive linemen in the class and quickly reads screens. Impressive foot speed and effort to chase down his prey in the pocket or near the sideline. Plays with a worker bee attitude, and his motor doesn't have an off switch. Weaknesses.
Dumber than a bag of hammers.
Below average arm length and can be out-leveraged by blockers. Needs to continue developing his technique in the run game, doesn't consistently play with cohesion in rush plan, sacrificing his balance. Late counters and has trouble becoming unglued from engagement. Won't be able to out-hustle blockers at the next level. Will already be 24 years old on draft weekend.
That sounds like that wide receiver you were talking about yesterday.
Yes, Velus Jones. In summary, overall, Fisk doesn't have a deep arsenal of counters if he doesn't win early, but he already has a professional mindset, and his twitchy urgency and steady play strength will translate well to the pro game. He projects as a rotational three technique with versatility to move around in an aggressive front. Third round grade on Mr. Fisk.
Next is Bruce. G'day, Bruce, you're on the score. Who's your guy?
For the possible day three pick, I'm looking at defensive tackle, nose tackle, Christian Boyd, Northern Iowa.
All right. Christian Boyd of Northern Iowa is 6'2⅓", 329. Strengths.
Scientists believe that the first human being who will live 150 years has already been born. I believe I am that human being.
Naturally stout body type with his girthy, heavy base. Holds his ground
and
versus
DJ Easy Rock.
Holds his ground versus power, can grow roots against double teams. Explosive off the snap to slam his hands into blockers and push bodies into the pocket. Uses his grip strength to snatch and pull or displace opponents. Awareness and technical control improved each season, helping him find runners in gaps. Has a passion for the physicality of the sport. Looks to bury ball carriers. Voted a team captain. Called the heart of the team. Great work ethic. Weaknesses.
I will start a fire in the bathroom.
Squatty. Lacks ideal length. Will struggle to disengage once blockers get into his body. Loses some of the power from his lower body when his pads rise. Efficiency as a pass rusher is a work in progress. Can create movement as a bull rusher, but will sacrifice his balance and find himself in an awkward position, unable to fight back. Needs to play with better control to corral and finish once he infiltrates the backfield. Most of the blockers he faced in college won't be playing professionally. Faced Iowa State 3 times in his career, didn't look out of place, but didn't dominate, will be 24 on draft weekend. The summary, Boyd can get stuck on blocks against long-armed resistance. Stout run stuffer, eats up space, flashes pass rush potential. He will interest different schemes as a quality depth piece. A 6th-round grade on Northern Iowa tackle Christian Boyd. Here is, Corey. I know who your guy is, but tell us who your guy is.
Hello, boys. My guy is Florida State wide receiver Keon Coleman.
Coleman, 6'3", 213 pounds. I think you're going to like this. Strengths.
On graphic for the final 2 bullet points.
Physically impressive athlete, outstanding body control. hip flexibility, and leaping skills to the sky the ball and make plays above the rim. This is one of my favorite things that I've read. Didn't record first drop of 2023 until ACC title game. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Routinely makes 50-50 grabs, and his highlight reel includes several one-handed catches. Maintains his focus to track, finish, while wearing defenders like a backpack. Consistently draws pass interference calls, especially in the red zone. Snatch-and-go receiver with a limber frame that allows for half of his body to make the catch while the other half gets a head start on working upfield. Weaknesses.
This guy sucks.
That's right in tune, too. I like that. Not a burner, and his speed is mediocre by NFL standards. Can be more efficient beating the jam and stacking corners. Routes require additional polish and deception. Doesn't consistently separate on film, leading to high traffic catch points. Guilty of extending both hands and pushing off defenders downfield. In summary, overall, Coleman must develop more nuance to his route running, but his big man twitch, physicality, and ball-winning adjustment skills allow him to be a difference maker. With continued refinement, he has the talent to be an NFL starter, similar in ways to Cortland Sutton. Grade, second round, 37th overall.
I'm glad that name got called. I'm sorry if you didn't get on this round of Who's Your Guy, but we will do it same time, same bat channel tomorrow and Thursday and Friday. So we'll get everybody in.
By the way, the Bears brass on the football side talked today. We are going to let people hear it at 1 o'clock. They'll hear from Ryan Poles ahead of draft day. And draft day coverage on The Score is sponsored by whom, Dan Bernstein?
You can tune in Thursday from 5 to 9 p.m. for wall-to-wall coverage of round one of the NFL draft. The Parkins and Spiegel Draft Special, live from Detroit, including expert analysis from Dave Wannstedt and Patrick Manley. The Score of the Odyssey app is your place to go. You can watch the Parkins and Spiegel Draft Special on Twitch, on Twitter, on YouTube, and draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I know you discussed this yesterday. I asked Steve Stone the questions I did because I was curious what he thought, but I don't think you have a choice but to make a move right now if you're the White Sox, whatever your alternative plan
make
is.
Make a move to what, Dan?
You need a new manager because this isn't working. This thing's over. This is I'm declaring him managerially. I think we're looking at a dead man walking.
He gave the Hulk Hogan response yesterday.
I don't know what he's talking
about. What you gonna do, brother?
I'm gonna fire your dumb ass. What I'm gonna do? That makes sense. We'll talk about it.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Look, I really care about our fans. I truly care about our fans. I care about you guys, you know, as media. You guys' job is really hard. In reality, every job is hard. I really do care. But I'm not going to throw out there anything that I speak to our players as individuals or as a team. I'm just not going to do it.
I've given up trying to figure out what he's talking about. What Pedro Bevington is talking about. And I don't know if it's going to make a difference or not, but this is over. This is done. And whatever cliche you want to use, and I hate firing, being, oh, this guy, you're going to be tough in this town. We fire managers and coaches. It doesn't, I get no joy out of it. But
well, at least you didn't say fire the hitting coach.
No.
There's an argument.
I don't even know who the hitting coach is.
Doesn't matter.
So, fine. You want to fire the hitting coach, you can fire the hitting coach.
Sure.
That doesn't really move the needle for me. But the only question I have is, do you just promote Charlie Montoyo, who's right there? Why wouldn't you? Because you have your managerial prospect at AAA.
You're not
Chris Getz. I'm saying you're Chris Getz, you're Mr. Project Birmingham and everything else, even though you've been firing all of you fired your AAA manager for being a creep.
No one should be entitled to anything in the White Sox organization.
I agree, but I'm wondering, what's the plan? Because Justin Gershley was your up-and-comer. That was the dude. Because this stuff, I mean, Pedro, I don't understand. I love what Craig Calcaterra talked about the White Sox losing. He said the 1988 Orioles had the worst start in the history of baseball. The White Sox obviously did not match their 0-21 performances, but those Orioles did start 3-24. The White Sox are 3-19. I'm not sure it's a huge stretch to believe Chicago will lose five more straight to match them. And even if they don't, the White Sox are last in baseball in runs scored per game and last in the AL in runs allowed. It's hard to get worse than this. He says, let's go to manager Pedro Grifol for his take on the latest loss. The quote, you can reflect, but you reflect to learn. You don't reflect to live in that negativity space where it will just continue to crush you if you can't flush that. What? Yeah, he talks a lot about flushing. Not flushing meadows. He talks a lot about it.
Well, a lot of managers in baseball use that when there's a bad game, and the White Sox have had nothing but bad games except for the three that they won.
But after a while, they burn the tape game. You can only use it every once in a while. Guys, that just sucked. Forget it. Get out of here. We had a bad day. We'll get them tomorrow. But when every day is that day, something's going wrong.
I think that Pedro should use this time to reflect more. And I think that he should use this time to reflect on what he is as a manager or what he hopes to be. He came in with a plan. And that plan was met with a more talented team that he managed to 100 losses. This year, he has a team that is not talented at all. And they're probably going to lose somewhere between 105 and 110 games this season. I know that it's not all on him, and I'm not trying to put all of it on him. But if he wants to manage ever again, perhaps he should look at some of his methods of doing things and wonder if there is some change to be made. Like, even the way that he approaches this, where I'm not going to talk about things that you don't have to tell us verbatim what you've said. But most people's stance is, if I told the players face to face how I feel about whatever it is that they're doing, I feel comfortable then giving a version of that to the public. It seems like you're the type of manager that has no say and no control and no plan. That's when he speaks, that's what I hear. You have a player, like your highest paid player in franchise history, for some reason, thinks that he can throw people out when there is zero evidence of him being able to throw people out at the plate enough for him to not hit a cutoff man. That is something that a manager can say, Andrew, we know what your strengths are. We know that that's not one of them. Multiple times this year, you've given up an extra base because you weren't hitting the cutoff man. I can't have that. I know what you're getting paid. You do it again, I'm sitting you down.
That play that ended with Bryce Harper sliding into second and Lenin Sosa throwing the ball away in a run scoring on a high school play, that can't happen.
Right.
All your talk about fast and preparation and details and everything you do, like, look at that. What does that say about your whole organization?
Most of it is talent. But in the moments when it's not talent, that's on you. And he hasn't figured that out yet. And I don't know what they're going to do, but I was saying this to Layla yesterday. Fortunately, it's not like the Bears situation last year where, well, we can't fire Matt Eberflus. Who's going to coach the team? With the White Sox, it's pretty easy. You have a manager who actually had success sitting there as your bench coach. An argument can be made that the more qualified guy is not managing the team right now.
You mentioned Benintendi. Think about this. The highest paid player in the history of the White Sox currently has the worst WAR on the worst team in the history of the White Sox.
It's bad stuff.
Think about that.
They've scored 45 runs in 22 games. They've been shut out 8 times in 22 games. And the only reason that they weren't shut out the other night is because Eloy was back and hit a home run.
Want to hear from Ryan Poles?
I do.
You'll hear him next on The Score.